And good afternoon, or good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Phyllis Pricer. I'm your hostess for the Higher Dimensions. And due to the overwhelming response last week, I asked Beth Ann to come back and enjoy another session with us, and she was gracious enough to do so. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I'm so glad. How was your week, dear?
It's been hectic, and at the moment I'm being Labradored because the only phone I could use is here in the living room, and the dogs think it's a riot that I'm down here with them. So hopefully they'll settle down in a minute, but they're sneezing and snorting into the phone here. That's not me.
Oh, well, that's all right. We'll snort right back at them. Okay.
Okay.
Something I wanted to ask you this week, for some reason, Rambo the cat has been extremely restless. I've noticed he's been pacing back and forth. I wondered if it was the beaver moon, which is the November.
Yeah. I've been getting a lot of restless phone calls. Calls and pink eye. That's been this week.
No pink eye, just wanting to go out, sometimes putting his nose just outside the door and immediately backing in. And sometimes going out, so I'm not sure what's going on with him.
Yeah, there's a female on his territory.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, there are a number of females out there.
Well, one in particular is ticking him off.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I know he nuzzles one of them, you know, when he gets free.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, he puts his nose out and then he backs back in, and I haven't seen that before, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Either out or in. And then he wants to go out, and then he meows at me, and then he just stalks around, and he looks. If he could pace with his arms behind his back, that's what he'd be doing.
I know how he feels.
Okay, I just wondered if it was this time of year for cats, the change of seasons, or if this means that the cats, I know in the females.
Yeah, the moon always makes them, you know, there's always restlessness, and especially with it being colder out, there just does seem to be a lot more restless behavior, a lot of animals gone missing, a lot of...
Really?
Yeah, a lot of weird behavior going on, more so than normal.
Oh, okay, because it's always normal, abnormal people. I don't want to go into that.
Okay. Yeah, that's a show unto itself.
Yes, that's for more than one show unto itself. We've certainly had proof of some very bizarre behavior. At any rate, I'm so glad, and I'm glad things have gone well. We were trying to get some more information about you, and ladies and gentlemen, if you want to call and talk about your pets or tell pet stories even and share with us some of your fantastic stories, you know, that's delightful too, am I right?
Of course.
Yeah, okay. So, at any rate, anyone who wants to call in and ask about certain things or bad behavior, please feel free to do so. I know I went to just two blocks from where I live to look at a house for some friends who were thinking of buying and to check out the outside, and I saw cats that were really close. In fact, it could almost be litter mates of Rambo.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just two blocks away, and I've never seen them before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do cats really combine themselves to, say, an alley area? Do they have a defined territory that they usually don't exceed? What is this?
I'm not as adept on city cats. Cats usually do stick with a territory, though, so... You know, it could be that they're just not going to your block, you know.
Yeah, I find it funny because I find that even here, there are just on the other side of my street behind me, the house behind me, our cats stay in the alley pretty much here, though we've seen some cross the street to the housing project, a fence community across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, some of them have been killed as a result because they haven't made it. But basically, the cats that we have here, I see, stay almost exclusively in the alley. And when you go to the other street itself, what you do is you find cats that don't come into the alley, but rarely. And they just seem to stay on their own side of the street. So
Cat territory is pretty serious stuff.
Okay. Pretty serious stuff, huh?
Yes. Here's the line, you don't cross it.
Gee, and we think people are strange about their boundaries in land.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently animals have taught us that, or else we're, I don't think we taught the animals. Somehow I feel the animals gave us this territorial prerogative.
Well,
anyway.
A fine example of that would be, yeah. I don't know if you saw the show about the wolf man, the man who became part of a pack of wolves to study their behavior.
Yes.
And he's very much an expert on wolves, and these farmers were having trouble with wolves coming onto their property. And,
uh-huh.
you know, they were shooting him, and the objective was that he didn't want the wolves to be killed, so he worked with one farmer.
Yeah.
Where he set up a system, a speaker system, and played these tapes of these howls that were basically saying, this is my property, this is our land, this is it,
yeah.
you know, out you go. And it stopped any wolves from coming onto the farmer's land and protected the herds.
Wow, yeah. Now that is smart.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Now
yeah.
that's what should be done. There's no reason why, with today's technology, we couldn't do that.
Well, what was very interesting is they then showed some other wolf experts who were saying, well, this isn't proven, and the one case does not make
what?
A whole, you know. Oh, well, you
oh,
know.
Please.
There's always somebody out there who's a naysayer.
Because it's not his or her idea?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or just to say no. People say no to say no.
Yeah, I know. It's
mm-hmm.
still strange. You know, to me, Mandy Lou, I would go out. You know, if it works with one, it will probably work with others. Because
yeah, so you keep trying it. You keep trying it because it's working.
Yeah.
And I thought it was brilliant. And if you hear
yes.
funny sounds that sound like a hyena, my Newfoundland is flat out on the floor, and the Labrador is pulling at her legs. And this
uh-huh.
is, yeah, this is because you're here. We're just going to be really obnoxious. And
oh,
we're gonna
okay.
play. So, yeah.
It's okay. At least my cat is indoors, so he wants to play. What I have noticed now with the cats outside in the back alley, they are becoming more friendly. I made homemade soup, by the way. I thought the cats were going to claw it out of my hand.
Yeah.
I take the leavings of the soup because I make mainly bouillon with it.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was so funny. The next time I went to open the door, here they came racing from all yards. More? Yes, more. And but now they're rolling at my feet, rubbing
mm-hmm.
against me, allowing them to pet them. Mandy Lou, boy, talk about a reaction to food.
Yeah. My a farmer friend of mine cuts up raw chicken and for the barn cats that are pretty feral. And she throws the pieces down, and you should hear the growling and the, you know, this is mine.
Yeah. Well,
they're growling while they eat. And they're ar, 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 ar.
I think that also means that they're enjoying themselves.
Yeah, but it's also territorial. This is mine, this is mine.
Okay.
Don't you touch it.
Okay.
Yeah, they become very primal at the time.
Okay, because I
As
heard
do
it.
I.
Well, you go after my food. Watch your hand, darling.
Yes.
You're likely to bring back
cream.
A nub. Well, as I was, but they let me pet them now, which I think is phenomenal. And because I didn't think feral cats would allow you to get that close, and just even if you're not feeding them, come over to get petted and stroked.
Yeah, no, feral cats, I call it an inch a day of trust. You can get an
right.
inch closer and an inch closer, you know, and if you go 2 inches, you're going to have to go 2 inches back. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because you pushed it too far.
They control. They
yeah.
control
yeah.
the relationship.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes good sense.
Yeah.
And that's what, a protective device, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because now some dogs, when they hear loud noises, will go and investigate. A cat runs like a rabbit. And yet, why would that be? Because what if it's the same noise, and they still run no matter what?
You think of predator and prey, because
yeah.
when you think of the cycle out in the wild of where they are in the food chain,
mm-hmm.
that it is a safety device to flee. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like cows. They are often preyed upon. Their first response to a sudden swift action or a sudden swift noise would be to run like the dickens. Whereas a predator like a large cat would look around like, what?
Yeah.
They wouldn't necessarily run. What
right.
was it?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wondered if that was it because, you know, there's the same noise that I make with my lounge chair and the cat just heads for cover every time I adjust it and it makes a noise.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep saying, nothing else is coming in. What is your problem, mm-hmm. cat? You know, after a while, you would think they'd become inured to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, honestly, you know, there is another health reason that can be associated with loud noises.
Ah.
You know, well, there's a lot of things. But health-wise, low thyroid can cause fear of thunder and lightning. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah. And, you know, also if they've had a bad experience with a loud noise.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah.
Okay, well, now we're going into something new. Thyroid can bring about
well,
what?
It's the kidney meridian, and the kidney is where fear is held, fear and anxiety.
Okay.
And
mm-hmm.
Excuse me, I have 140-pound Newfoundland pushing against me. and I'm holding her at arm's length while I'm talking to you. I'm glad nobody's
all?
Got a camera here. come on, you guys, this isn't fair. I broke my other phone, so they just think this is a riot.
Yeah,
so the kidney is where you hold fear. Kidney, thyroid, adrenal, and you know when it affects that and the sex organ. So if there is a weakness or if there mm-hmm. is fear that's held in there, those are the kinds of reactions you're going to be. And I think we talked about it before, when you have low thyroid, then you would be a jumpier person. You would be more fearful. Thunderstorms are big with dogs. Where there are some dogs that react to it and will say to the owner, well, have you checked the thyroid? Because that is a symptom.
Well, and in people that would be the same?
Sure.
Because I don't know of any physician who would consider loud noises or reactions or fears to
You're talking about Western medicine, though, yes?
Yes, okay.
Yeah, I'm talking more in the response to Chinese medicine or holistic.
Okay.
People who look at the whole picture as opposed to each part of your body as a separate individual entity.
Yeah.
Which is,
yeah. As far as I know, my body's pretty well integrated.
At least
it was at birth. I don't know how that would happen since then, but at birth it was pretty well integrated. All of me came out at the same time. And I don't know that I've, you know, brokered any parts since then, so I'm figuring I'm still here. anyway, feel free to call if you have any questions. It's 1-888-815-9756. And, again, let's hear more of, again, of your story with regard to your dogs and cats and you're moving east from a beautiful place on behalf of the dogs because of their allergic reaction.
Well, I was from New England originally and had always wanted to settle here. And when I had moved to California, I regretted it when I got there. It just wasn't the right place, but I stayed 14 years. And when I had moved up the coast with my dogs, they had both reacted to being by the ocean because it is a stronger, you know, having more salt in the air does affect you. And it also made them crash as far as their health with the fact that they were on dog food at the time. So once I changed them to a raw diet, they stabilized. But my one Newfoundland dog had autoimmune issues from being vaccinated, and she almost died from a compromised liver, which we turned around. But her ears were constantly hot. We were living in a place where I found out after we moved there that the Indians, the natives, had called it Land of a Thousand Diseases. And well, that would be a clue not to live here.
Yes,
so,
yes, yes.
Just a little minor one. But that, of course, was not in the home description when we bought the house. So, anyway, when the opportunity came up, when my aunt passed away and left me enough money to put a down payment on a property, and I literally found this house on the internet. It was the first property I looked at. I looked at other things but kept coming back to this house. And it had everything I had been dreaming about for years, including right down to the detail of milkweed, which I love because I love it in the fall when the pods open and the seeds go flying everywhere.
I had
fields all around the entire house so that I could have an acre and a half fenced in for the dogs by in the back and not have a single yard that was, you know, abutted mine. It was all private. Wildlife more so than I had really counted on.
The creepy crawly kind as well as the four-legged and ten-legged and other kinds, right?
Well, I had no idea what it was like to have problems with groundhogs until I moved here.
They but do the love bulbs.
They do love dogs, too.
Do they?
Well, no, I'm being silly because they were more of a hassle. And I do tell of a story in my book about a little meeting of Emma and the groundhog where I had to pull Emma off the groundhog. And the groundhog was so surprised because, okay, here comes this big black bear. I mean, my dog is, or was, 150-pound black Newfoundland. Here comes this big black bear pouncing on me. Then this human comes screaming, pulls the big black bear off, and then they go running into the house. What?
Yeah.
What was that about? Yeah, so, you know, and they're very curious, so he kept coming back, and to the point where he would come to the sliding door, and it would be like, you know when you go to a door and you can't see in, and you put your little hands up?
Yeah.
That's what they would do, to look in. You know, what's in there? We want in. And so the one that I had the most trouble with, who used to come and sunbathe on my deck, called him Sparky, and he used to come and pound his fists on the door, like, let me in.
What? It,
yeah, he'd pound on the door.
Well, that's funny.
Yeah, riot.
I had dogs who would love to chase them, you know, and I would have to toss at them, and my dogs would look at me, what?
Yeah.
They're invading our yard. What's your problem, Mom?
Yeah. Well, and they're not stupid, these wild ants. Not by a long shot.
There was a
chipmunk that used to, because I the four cats would line up by the sliding door. They didn't go out. My cats don't go out. And they would be like children in their PJs waiting for the drive-in movie to start.
Right.
And the chipmunk would come running by, and the chipmunk would purposely run up against the door. So that, you know, like knowing the glass was between him and the cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little brat.
Yeah. I know. And the cats would go bonkers.
Yeah.
They would love it, right?
Yes. They would chatter and just, you know, this could be entertainment for hours. And,
they entertained each other. I mean, the animals, I don't know, a lot of must want to play and have fun too, you know?
Yes. Yes.
I mean,
and it is nice
so.
To. It is nice to torture your predator.
I have so many things I want to say, and none of them are appropriate.
Save them for later. We'll talk.
I've heard of squirrels doing that, you know, driving animals wild here in the city, you know, they'll come up and flit and, you know, prance in front to drive the cats and the dogs wild.
Yeah.
But, you know, who says animals don't have a sense of humor?
Oh,
honest
yeah.
to God.
My dogs think everything is funny. They think it's a riot. They do. They think everything is quite hysterically funny.
Oh, well, they're right. You know, you're going to have to keep oneself amused somehow. And not only that, guess what? It's free entertainment, and you can't get that on television.
My Newfoundland that I had, Emma, had this thing that we called this look called a good idea, where she would suddenly think of something, and her eyes would get big, and they would shift left to right, and it's like, she's come up with something.
Yeah,
which meant following her around, ready to get her away from something.
Whatever
and we used
it was
to,
she decided to do.
Yes. We also played this game called Find It in the wintertime because this is Vermont, and we get a lot of snow here and be housebound for quite a while. And I would take a toy, and I would put her in the other room, and I would hide the toy and then yell, "Find it," and she'd come racing in and find the toy and bring it to me. And we'd do this for hours. But she got silly about it, and especially here, because there's lots of corners to the house, she would peek. She would cheat. She would peek around the corner to see what I was doing, to see where I was putting it. Yeah. Yeah. Cheater, cheater.
I hear your dog saying,
that's India.
Yeah,
that's India.
Cheater.
They don't, we haven't gone out much on now. The Sundays here, big hunting days, and there's been a lot of gunfire today, so we stay in. Yeah, yeah, it's a beautiful day.
Yeah, I know. It's a shame sometimes, do you think, you know, because if they can hit a cow or a deer and other people, really, I don't blame you wanting to keep them inside safely.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, and there's always that one person who's not responsible. Most hunters around here, I have to say, are very honorable and good people and considerate, and they do it because they have to feed their family. But there's always that one.
Idea.
Yeah, there's always that one person. So, yeah, we tend to mind for that one person.
Well, you have to in self-defense. I mean, I remember when I was in high school, we had the, in New Jersey, we had the Watchung Reservation began up behind the ridge behind our school. And the guys would go and poach at night, and they would use flashlights. And sister was terrified. Occasionally we'd hear the fire of gunshots, and one time we found a bullet hole near the school, and sister was terrified one of us would get shot.
Mm-hmm.
By some crazy lunatic shining a flashlight in a deer's eyes, trying to, it's just, you know, as you say, some people, a lot of people are responsible, some people are not.
Right.
And it's the lunatics you have to be careful of.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need to say any more on current affairs than that, do I?
Mm-mm.
Because of what happened in Texas this week. God bless us all. Anyway. So tell me another story about your sweet darlings. How did it turn out once you got back here?
Well, it was a whole new bag of issues because I was having night terrors at the time from having a dog that died from being vaccinated and then two dogs that had very severe health compromises. I would find myself curled up in a ball in the hall, waking up at 3 a.m, having gone through the house, or going through cupboards searching for things with the intent of I miss something that my dogs need and they have to have this or they're going to die. And that would happen at 2 and 3 a.m. And my dog would always be right next to me when I woke up. So I knew no matter how many times that happened, she wasn't going to let anything happen to me. But Emma developed, she had to have a rabies vaccine by law, even though her health was compromised. And I've learned since then that I actually could have fought that and won because she did have compromised health. And it says right on the packaging, only for well animals. It's not for compromised animals. So actually the vet was negligent in giving her that. She developed tumors not only at the site but up and down her back. And I had, when I was out in California, I had had some of those tumors removed. And when I came here, I didn't want to go that course of action anymore. And I tried a salve that is originally Native American, and it's called an escharotic, where its main ingredient is bloodroot. And it will eat away at cancer cells. It will actually bubble them away. And so I tried that on her, on the different tumors, and it did take them away. But I knew at the time that it was really too late, that it was so deep within her that there was going to be no turning it around, no changing it, no anything. You know, it was just in her.
Uh-huh.
And, she did eventually die of bone cancer. And that was interesting in itself because she developed a tumor the size of a baseball, you know, a softball on her leg over the, I mean, it did not take long for that tumor to shoot out. And even though we knew what it was, I needed a diagnosis, even for my own confirmation. And I couldn't travel with her. When you have a dog that is that big and you have
right.
to be careful of their leg to get in the car.
Yeah.
So I tried to reach this large animal vet that's in the next town over to come here with the portable x-ray. It was another vet I knew about an hour and a half from here had suggested it. So, oh, well, somebody can come to your house with a portable x-ray because I'm in an area uh-huh. where they do that for cows, and this is Vermont is lots of cows. Somebody should be able to come to your house to do that. When I talked to them, they said no, because she's a dog, not a cow. They would not come here. And I said, well, if it's a matter of insurance or waivers, I'll sign anything, do anything, but I really can't. You know, I'm only 5'5" tall. She's a 150-pound dog and in trouble, and I can't travel with her. And they were rude to me, so I was rude back, and they wouldn't come here. So I ended up having to splint her leg and get a farmer over here to help lift her into the car. She would not lie down for the entire ride up to Woodstock, which was an hour and a half, only to get a confirmed diagnosis of bone cancer. And what I hadn't known at the time is that bone cancer is such that you do need to mine the leg, because it's not like having tumors. It becomes
right.
part of the bone, and the bone can
right.
shatter, and that would be the most painful thing possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and then to try and get a vet out here to put her down, was supposed to be here at 8 in the morning and didn't come until 8 o'clock at night. So it's not just the trauma of going through the loss. It's trying to, you know, help your animal when people won't help you.
Right.
And it's, I'm not in the city. I'm in rural Vermont, and so it
right.
is few and far between. So
yeah,
that was the that was the not fun part of the book.
Yes. Well,
yeah.
All of it is it's you now have some animals, right, that you are taking care of. Someone almost gave me a puppy this past week. He said, "Would you a friend had a 8-week-old American bulldog."
Mm-hmm.
And a female, and he said, "Would you have had one?" And I said, "I would have considered it." He says, "I wish I had known." He said, "I thought of you, but if I schlepped all the way across town and you didn't want it, I'd have to schlep all the way across back again." So they found somebody else to take it. But I almost got another dog. But you have found other dogs that you take in as well. You're going to have more Newfies, or you're going to go to a different breed, or what?
No, India is my last Newfoundland. I will not have any more after this. And I have a Labrador. And if I do ever get another dog, it would be from that woman, from that breeder, from her Labradors. And cats, I only take rescue cats. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And yeah. right now, there's a moratorium on animals here at this house. I'm not taking in anybody right now.
There's a sign on the door, no room at the inn.
Yes. Keep moving.
I have a feeling that if someone showed up at your front door, I don't think they would be sent away hungry. That's just my feeling.
Well, yeah. These are lean times right now, so
yes.
another mouth to feed is not really possible at the moment.
I know, but you'd find a place, wouldn't you?
Nope.
No, I mean you would find them a home.
Yeah, but I can't do it myself right now. No.
Yeah, I can understand that, believe me. That's sometimes the way I feel. I love animals, but, you know, I had 3 dogs and some chinchillas, and I've done my tour of duty. But I couldn't not take in the cat. At any rate, anyone who wants to call in and talk and get to know Beth Ann Eliason. Elian is your name, right?
Elian.
Elian. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know why it's Elian. Elian. Anyway, who wants to talk, please give us a call, because she's ready, willing, and able. She came on specifically so we could answer some more questions this week. So let's have you call and talk to her. Is there anything that you yourself would like to just share with the audience and to get out into the wide world of animals today?
People always ask me that, and I become a deer in headlights, and my response is, well, what would you like to know? It's very hard for me to just pick things out of the air because I don't have soap boxes, and I don't have, just sort of slide and glide personality.
Well, I think perhaps one of the things that we had discussed that you were really feeling strong about is having as natural a diet as possible.
Mm-hmm.
For animals.
I feel strongly about it for my animals, but I do believe that everybody has to make their own choice and own decisions. I know from experience that dogs need the enzymes and the amino acids that you can only find in raw meat. You're not going to find it in a processed food. So many of the behavior and health issues, I'd say 90% of the behavior and health issues that you will find can stem right back to, their health and nutrition. So,
what about cooked food? For purposes of hygiene, what about cooked food? Like the food that
you said hygiene for health
for health purposes. For not wanting to introduce any kind of bacilla or things like that.
Okay, well, I have two answers for you. First, dogs do not digest food the same way we do. They do not start digesting in the mouth the way humans do. Their digestion is built differently, and their needs are different than ours.
Okay.
So there are things that they tolerate that we don't. It's similar if you think about babies can only handle certain things until they're an adult. It's the same kind of thinking that dogs can handle things we can't. Now, that applies to a healthy dog. When you have a sick animal, they often can't handle raw foods, and lightly cooked meats are fine for them, but not the raw. So that would be the caveat to that question. Now, on the other side of that, what we've done to food is unconscionable. And most of the meat out there is not even edible for us. Animals are fed things they shouldn't be fed. They're fed grains, which they shouldn't be. They should be on pasture. And it changes what meat is. For example, timely subject, because I am picking up I don't mean to be crass. I'm just picking up the organs and bones today, and I'm getting the meat the rest later this week.
Right.
Every year I get two cows from a farm, and I do it because I know they've been raised on pasture. Being raised on pasture means that they've been on grass that produces a high CLA content in their fat, meaning they are the right kind of fatty acids and the right kinds of fats to eat. So all the fat that's on those cows is good for you.
Right.
Good for me, good for my dogs. And that's different than when you go in and get grain-finished meat where it is not the good kind of fat, and those cows also can produce the bad kind of E. coli because of the grain.
Hmm.
So many answers to your question.
Well, no, that's good, because that's what I wanted to do, is to stimulate a discussion and get some information going, because a lot of people are not aware of this.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to a friend, and she was talking about her husband and was dating, and he had several dogs, and he stopped by Mickey D's and got some hamburgers, and he didn't offer her anything. And so she said she put her paws up and panted like a dog, and he said, oh, and he looked at her kind of surprised, and then fished for a hamburger and gave it to her. I said, well, that was a hell of a date, wasn't it? I don't know if I would marry him after that one. But, I don't think McDonald's is actually the best food to give your dog, personally.
I'm going to decline on saying anything about McDonald's at the risk of being sued for saying exactly how I feel about
it. Well, you don't have to. It's just one should find a better, more healthy way to eat. How's that?
There is pretty much any way would be healthier.
Well, since I'm on the radio, I don't want to do that either, but we're just talking about animals, because I don't think fried foods are good for dogs or
people
in particular. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, what the French did to inspire French food, French fries, so to speak. But,
were French fries really from France?
Actually, yes.
But were they? Because I don't know about that. I know pasta is not from somewhere. I don't remember.
Pasta was from Asia, China.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Where it came
I knew
from.
It wasn't
it was
from Italy.
Brought back by Christopher, by Marco Polo. But yes, but that's why they're called French fries, because the pulpa fritas, they were some French chefs that decided this would, a little fat is good, more fat's better. I don't know.
Well, now there are, you know, cooking anything, you're running a risk. But there are some fats that are very good for you. It's just a matter of putting a cap on it. Unfortunately, in this country, we put way too much of a cap on the fats. In August, I had the dental surgery, I think I had told you about, and realized that it was time for me to make a change because I had been paying all attention out and not taking care of myself.
Right.
And I went back to no breads, no sweets, and cod liver oil 3 times a day, plenty of vitamin D, and having a lot of bone broth-based soups, and a lot of coconut oil, and...
I'm taking coconut oil.
Yay. Very good for you. Good medium-chain fatty acid, lots of lauric acid. And I am slowly without... veering from that much. Occasionally, if I'm out, I will have a sandwich, but I am losing weight without even trying because I've eliminated the two big culprits. And and I always tell people, you know, if you need to make a change, if you want to eat healthier, the very first thing to do is just stop with the fast food. Just stop that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
And carbohydrates.
Depending on the carbohydrate.
Like bread. Like breads?
You're talking refined carbohydrates.
Yes,
refined.
Yes.
Now, I eat a lot of rice and quinoa and
what's
millet.
Quinoa?
Quinoa is a seed from South America that is considered, people call it a grain, but it's a seed. Well, most grains are. And it's fun because it looks like these little curlicues when it's cooked. And it has kind of a nutty flavor to it. And a lot
of
people I know who are, who can't handle wheat, can't handle gluten, can have quinoa. I buy a 10-pound sack of it every year. And,
wow.
Well, you know, first of all, I have the space, and to buy greens in, you know, in bulk is so cheap.
It is.
Yeah.
But
and I have,
just think, wow.
Yeah, I have my own grain grinder. It grinds and it flakes. So I buy whole grain for everything, and I do give my dogs flaked grain with vegetables and raw milk and molasses and oils and other things in for one meal. And I buy a 50-pound bag of oats and pay so much less than what somebody buying Quaker oats would be paying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just next to nothing. And well, the economy changed that a little bit, but it's the way to go. So,
That's fascinating. I have a friend of mine who, I guess in a way, I am allergic to wheat too, and I can lose weight if I stop eating the breads, refined breads, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But I just am not into baking. It's just, you know, for one person, it doesn't make it quite worth my while to do that. And I was ever, you know, trying to get rid of foods like that. You know, I'd have to throw block parties to get rid of it.
Well, it doesn't take much to make a single serving of rice or a single serving of quinoa or, you know, with a nice big thing of butter on it, and there you go. I mean, it's, I can't tell you how often I have that. And my other big thing is sushi. I make my own sushi all the time.
Sushi?
So I make sushi. I make a big thing of sushi rice, and I roll my own. I roll my own sushi.
You do what?
I roll my own.
I thought I heard you say something like that.
Yeah.
Well, I have to be honest with you. If it's not dead and cooked, I don't eat it.
You can have sushi cooked. Yeah.
I
actually do cook the fish now because there's so many parasites and so much going on with seafood that I have
in
to cook it.
Today.
Which
I think is sad, but, you know.
Yeah.
I'm raw fish and I just don't get along real well. Mm. And that's okay. It's not necessary, you know.
Yeah. Well, in the respect of all animals that come into your life mirror an aspect of yourself, it's fascinating to me that one of my cats can only eat seafood.
Oh.
Yeah, she has bowel problems from having too much of a parasite load from being outside.
Oh.
She was feral, and I hand-trimmed her.
Yes.
I brought her in. So she has that. She also has been working on her with her diabetes. But if I don't eat seafood, and I start to go downhill fast.
Really?
I have to have seafood and seaweed and all that in my diet, or I just plummet down. And it's the same with her. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it's quite
fascinating. Well, it's funny because when I feed my cat, I even gave her the kidneys liver or kidneys, I guess, whatever it was, liver, I guess, that I cooked with the chicken soup. And she took her time eating it, after checking it out with her nose. And I've never met quite such a finicky eater, but mm-hmm. he didn't finish his salmon. And so I just said, well, you'll have to eat it because I don't do designer foods here for animals.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't do them for children. I'm not going to do them for our cats.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why, although I thought they would love seafood. But he's I put a dish out and it'll be gone in 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But he doesn't gorge, even though the food is there available to him. He doesn't
gorge.
Well,
they all have their preferences. I have two cats who would kill for chicken liver or beef liver, and I do feed it raw. And then two that, what are you trying to feed me? You're trying to poison me. I just know it. So they're all individual. They're all very individual that way, just like people. There are some things that
mm-hmm.
one of my closest friends, she makes faces at the fact that I eat sushi and,
uh-huh.
that I think that sea urchin is one of the greatest foods on the planet.
Uh-huh.
She just looks at me like I'm insane.
Well, just look at it this way. There's more for you.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. When I was going out to California for a visit, it wasn't, I'm so excited to see my mother and I'm so excited to go back to where I lived. It was, oh, my God, I get to go to Eno's Sushi Bar in Mill Valley and order uni, which is the urchin.
That's funny. Well, my stepfather was Italian, so I am very fond of Italian food. But he couldn't prepare seafood or beef without cooking it to a fairly well.
Mm.
And I understand that's a very old European attitude that has held over from pre-refrigeration days, that you cook things because you didn't wish to die.
Yeah, well, now in the gypsies and nomads, what they would do with meat is hang it from a tree or bury it in the ground. And it would get, darkened on the outside, but it cured inside, was actually incredibly good for you. This, of course, is meat that has been raised properly, like we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the old way. And, of course, now we do have refrigeration. So there were ways of eating foods like that, of preparing
mm-hmm.
them. And, I can just see nowadays hanging a side of beef out your window in New York City.
Wouldn't you have neighbors calling up and the Department of Health pounding down the
yes.
street and on your door before you
yes.
could turn around?
Absolutely.
Well, that's pretty funny. Well, the Koreans still bury kimchi, is it, in a jar?
I'm sorry?
Kimchi,
yes.
Kimchi,
I have
yes.
two jars. I have that, yeah.
Yeah, and they bury it in the ground and, people are still complaining about putting up, are you ready for this, stringing a rope or putting up one of those little umbrellas to hang your laundry out, that there have been complaints about that as being derogatory to one's neighborhood. No, really.
Saves energy because you're not putting it in the dryer.
Well, yes, I know, darling, that to have the neighbors complain, oh, please, get a life.
That's why I don't have neighbors.
Right.
My biggest worry was when a young couple moved in next door, and I have 10 acres, and they started cutting down all the trees between our property. And so I could actually see their house from my house. It was very upsetting.
Uh-huh.
Very upsetting. I don't like that.
And did you talk to them about it or never did?
No, I knew, thank God, being psychic, I knew they weren't going to live there long and their house is for sale. So, yeah.
Yes, but meanwhile, all those beautiful trees.
Nothing I could do. Nothing I could do. He was just, you know, Mr. Happy with his chainsaw. He got carried away with these very ancient big trees. And Vermont had been clear cut back in the 1800s, and
yes.
We don't have a lot of the big trees here. You know, they're few and far between, and it was just such a crime. There were two big ones right on his property that he took down, so that he and his son could play ball in the yard. What are you gonna do?
They haven't stayed. Yes. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Higher Dimensions.
Hi, Phyllis. This is Pat.
Yes.
In there. I'm wondering if you would do a personal reading, not related to the show.
Yeah, but not right now.
Okay. Okay.
Because it's but if you call me another time, I'd be glad to, sweetie.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Do you have any questions
bye-bye.
On animals or pets? Or how healthcare relates to
I'm listening to the program. My dog's wagging his tail. He just went through surgery.
How's he doing?
I think he's doing pretty well. He had a lot of growth and called fatty tumors. Maybe your guest knows.
He had a lot of what?
Growth, fatty tumors.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe your guest has.
Yeah, fatty tumors. What could she do about cutting back on fatty tumors?
Well, the body is trying to tell you something, and I would make sure you get blood work on that dog to make sure that there's no compromise to the liver.
So liver support you're talking
mm-hmm.
about.
Yeah, yeah.
What could she help him with to support the liver?
Well, it depends on if there is a liver issue or not. Sometimes it can just be in an energy state, but using things like dandelion and milk thistle would be a good start.
Okay. And
Could
you get that?
Yeah. How old a dog is this?
He's between 9 and 11. If he just had blood work done for the surgery, so I guess that would have shown up.
Well, you have to realize, too, that a vet will read blood work in one way, and a nutritionist is going to read it in another. Vets
mm-hmm.
are trained to look for existing state where you have an actual disease state. Somebody who's in nutrition is going to look at it and go, oops, this is falling, or this is high normal, or this is low normal. We need to be paying attention to this to balance the body. That would be
mm-hmm.
the difference.
Okay.
So there's a wonderful book that I think I mentioned on last week's show called Holistic
oh, yes.
Guide for a Healthy Dog, and it can help you to understand that more and can also show you points on the body for acupuncture or chiropractic that can help with liver also, and also liver cleansing and information about different symptoms that your dogs might be showing. So
what,
that would be helpful.
What form do you do milk thistle or the dandelion?
It really depends on the dog. That's why it's sort of complicated to make a general answer. It would depend if you can use tinctures, you can use the herb in a form of a tea. That's why I'm suggesting getting the book, because it will cover that for you in more detail.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. Good.
Okay.
I'm glad you called, Pat.
Thank you very much.
Oh, mm-hmm. thank you. Please give me a call outside of this, and I'd be delighted to talk to you.
Will you be available later today, Phyllis?
Yeah, sure I will. Sure
thank
I will.
You.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thanks for your help. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, darling. Well, that's nice. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And thank you for your information, too. Yes, good afternoon. You're on the air. May I help you?
Hello.
Who's this? Hi. Who's
this? Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Welcome to the Higher Dimensions.
Thank you. I was listening to your guest,
yes.
and this is the first time I've called in, so I'm kind of... nervous.
Shy.
but I was listening to your guests, and I know this is about animals, but I have a question about both animals and humans. I'm very in touch with the animal world. I live in the country, and the reason I called is because I love that story about your neighbor cutting down the trees, and now you can see his house. And the same thing happened to me.
Oh.
Whereas this was like a sanctuary, and all of a sudden and they're kind of a distance between us. They started cutting down all the trees, and now I can see in their house, and they can see in mine, and I'm like disturbed. But,
oh,
so that's
wow.
why I felt a bondness between us.
Yeah, you can always be obnoxious like me, and like purposely stand in the driveway and look in. Hoping that, you know, when you wave enough and they're noticing that you're standing there looking at them enough that they'll think about putting a fence up.
Oh, yeah. I pray that these people will put a fence up, but they won't.
Yeah.
And they're out there constantly with these blowers blowing the leaves. And
oh,
then the noise
God.
Is just disturbing. Oh, yeah, it's crazy.
Oh.
But it's okay. One of the things
on the more spiritual side of this, and you know, I joke mm-hmm. around about it quite a bit, but on the more spiritual side, it is an opportunity to be within yourself and not let those things spoil your world.
Right.
And to put that energy out there to those trees, that passive, beautiful, peaceful feeling for them for being cut down.
Right.
But yes, use it as an opportunity to not let things like that bother you. To be able to live, and there's no matter where you go, there's always going to be something or someone doing something that's annoying, and it's a matter of learning how to tune it out.
I know.
And
I
to
hate
be able to live your life
because,
yeah.
I hate to
that's
sound
the lesson.
Because I'm
but
really
I like
not.
To. I like to make noise about it anyway.
I do have problems with people who buy property in the country and then make it into a city lot. That's kind of weird, but I don't judge. I'm trying not to judge anything right now,
it's
and I'm
hard,
moving past that. So what I do is bless them and send them in the light, and usually it always works out actually.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, I'm a caregiver, and I care for people that generally are dying, and I've lost. 5 clients in this past year, and
wow.
I was just wondering, I have a dog that is very attached to me, and she's starting to like laze around, and I'm wondering if my energy, because I'm right now in a process of change, complete and total change, and so I only have one client left, and I think that the sadness hit me so much that I think it went to my dog.
Well, they will mirror you. They will show you exactly where you are. So, of course, you know, they feel it too, absolutely. Every animal that comes into your life is going to reflect an aspect of you, and they're going to reflect your emotional state. So, of course, absolutely. And that's okay.
And my parrot
that's
got
okay.
angry.
That's okay. That's part of life, going through the ups and downs, and change is a big part of life. And, you know, just tell the dog it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
This is, you know, just a passage that we're going through.
Yeah, that's what I tried to do. So I have a question.
Good.
Do you have a website?
Me?
Absolutely. Now's a good time to give it, Beth Ann. Yay!
Yeah. Yeah, I paid her to call to know.
Ms. Giggles.
It's the quickest way to get to my website, because my name is confusing to spell, would be to go to bathtubpsychic.com, and you can read about my book, which is Memoirs of the Bathtub Psychic, The True Story of a Clairvoyant and Her Dogs. I have information about ordering it. You can order it through any bookstore. You can order it online signed. There's information about diet and nutrition and information about the types of readings I do. And a links page also with some of my colleagues and places where I suggest of getting different things also for you and your pet.
All right, I'll go there. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
You're
and keep
welcome.
Listening and
Thank
call
you.
Again.
I will. Have a blessed day.
You too, my
Bye-bye.
Dear. Thank you. Well, I am so glad we are having people call in. It's important to share. And I guess we should give you time to do your ad now. You did give it, but you do have a book. It's called The Bathtub Psychic, and it's available.
Yeah, it's Memoirs of the Bathtub Psychic.
The
True Story of a Clairvoyant and Her Dogs. And it is available through any U.S. bookstore and online. It's available from Amazon and other online sources worldwide. Or you can order signed copies on my website, and I do ship anywhere and have shipped as far as Singapore and Australia and the U.K. and Canada. Yes, yes.
And any phone number you want to leave, or do you prefer the website?
The website has everything there.
Okay, wonderful.
Yes. So it's bathtubpsychic.com.
Okay, thank you. I'm so glad. At any rate, it's wonderful. We don't have but a few more minutes, so and I am hoping that we can let you know that hopefully we can have it again one of these days on. I'd love to have it, maybe in a few months. And I want to tell people very quickly, we're going to have Sandra Lerner next week, and Connecting with Your Guardian Angel. It's a nice little book, very sweet person, and she talks to you about how you can reach your guardian angel and speak to him or her, and have fun and enjoy and know that you are protected and loved always. And I want to thank you, Beth Ann, especially for coming on 2 weeks in a row. That's very, very sweet of you.
You're always such a pleasure. I love hearing you laugh.
Thank you.
I was like, what can I do to make her laugh?
Just be you.
Okay.
And that's what you do, and it's wonderful. Thank you. I just love it. You're such a wonderful person. You've gone through so much with your loving pets, and I identify with you because I have gone through a great deal with my pets, and to know also that your pets stay with you, even though they've passed on. Very often they're with you, and that's a part we didn't touch very much. So, but if you could just speak just a couple of minutes on whether or not animals stay with you after they pass on.
Oftentimes they'll linger until you can move on without them, is what I'm finding with a lot of people, or people who call them back in. They're there. They will come and be with you. And if you, oftentimes, especially after they pass, I hear people seeing them in dreams where it seems real.
Mm-hmm.
It is real, because the dreamland is where we can have that meeting of, you know, the living and the dead. So believe it when you experience it is true. And you can call them in and ask them to meet you there, and they often will.
You know, I've had people say they see the dogs with me or often, and like you could,
mm-hmm.
because they're helping with my work in some way. And they're also there to comfort me. And I know sometimes the cat now will stop and just sit and stare at a spot, or go to the stairway and do a double take and then just sit and look.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, they do see dead, and they do see the dead. Yeah.
Yes.
They're great mediums, absolutely.
Okay. Too bad they can't talk to us about it.
Well, they can. They can talk to me about it.
In English?
Well, no.
Or in cat.
In cat, yes.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you very much. God bless you so much. Welcome. Thank you, Beth Ann, and welcome to our show again. And we will talk to you next week. You all have a wonderful weekend and week, and enjoy yourselves. God bless you, and goodbye.
Thank you, Phyllis. Bye.
Bye.